Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4. A couple of things before we get started. Number one, the date on the bulletin is incorrect. I know it's incorrect, and don't blame the bulletin maker, blame me. And I'm going to blame autocorrect, just so you know, because I think I've actually put the right date on there. It just fixed it for me. But the second thing that I want you to see is this. Our theme for 2018 is renewal. And when we think about renewal, what we want to talk about is a time for renewal. It is important for every one of us to understand and to see that in our life, that there is always a place and a time where we need to kind of renew the commitments, the vows, promises, all of those things that have taken place in our life. There are times when those things just need some refreshing, some renovation, if you would, some to work them over some. Throughout the Bible, we're going to see a lot of examples of that. Today, we're just going to do an introduction. We'll be dealing with this for several Sunday mornings afterwards. But throughout the Bible, we see some people who have a time of renewal in their own life. For example, it might be Abraham at Bethel, a time for him to renew and to get things right with God. It might be Joshua after the failure of the Battle of Ai. For those of you that don't know, they went into the land of promise. Joshua led the nation Israel in. They conquered Jericho, went to conquer Ai, and because of sins that had taken place from Jericho, they were defeated in that battle. And he was just devastated by it. It was a time where his spiritual life needed to be renewed so that he could serve and do as God would have him to. You know, we could cite several different occasions in the life of David. In the life of David, we might talk about times he needed to be renewed from the pursuit of Saul, the pursuit of his son Absalom, other things that took place in his life, even resulting from some of his own folly, some of his own mistakes. You've got Bathsheba and Uriah, her husband, and the situation that went on there where he cheated with her and then had Uriah killed so it wouldn't look like he was a guilty party. So we see different situations such as that. How about Elijah when he was running from Jezebel? There was a time in his life where he needed to be renewed. And even in the New Testament, we see this. The apostles are a good example of that. They followed Jesus, but then when he died on the cross of Calvary, they were devastated. They were in despair. He had died and he was buried. After his resurrection, they realized some things and they needed a renewal, and they became these great warriors for Jesus Christ. They became his apostles and the ones that he used to form that foundation of the church and to do great things. Not only that, but we see even in the life of a church in the New Testament, the church of Corinth. In the church of Corinth, we find in the first letter that Paul wrote to them, he beat them up pretty good over some things that had been taking place in the church. They had gotten really out of the way spiritually. They weren't where they needed to be. But when we see him write the second letter, somewhere between letter one and letter two, they got some things right. They got their lives back to where they needed to be. And as a church, they began doing the things that God had instructed them to do. So what we're finding here is it's not an uncommon thing for people to need to be renewed in Jesus Christ. And so what we want to look at is our own lives, whether it's in our life, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our church, it might even be in our country. But the point is there's a place and a time where we need to look at our life and examine our life and say, is this a place and a time where I need to renew my spiritual life? Renew the things that God has given me and renew all those things that need to take place to put into practice the fruit of the Spirit and to and to renew all of those strengths and those gifts that God has given me. That kind of thing needs to take place very often in our lives. You know, Isaiah instructed Israel to focus on the Lord because it's there that they would find their strength. Let me give you that same example today, because let me encourage you that being renewed is not just something you do. The Lord has to be in it. It has to be something where God is in this. In fact, here's what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what we find is there's a necessity in making sure that if we are going to be renewed in our faith, renewed in who we are, renewed in our spiritual life, it better start with God. It better start with putting him right where he needs to be in our life. Now, if ever there's a time when believers should be prepared, refreshed, ready for service of all sorts, it's right now. I mean, let's look around us and we see the same kind of things that are going on. We can look at our families, at our friends, at our church, even our country, and we understand and know that all of those things are dependent upon our commitments to the Lord. Are there areas in your life that you've noticed and seen that really need some type of renewal? Throughout this series, we're going to be talking about those things. We'll be talking about renewal in areas of prayer, our prayer life, our study life, our evangelism life, our character, all of those kinds of things. We want to look at those things, but today I want to talk about just simple spiritual renewal, where it starts and how it has to begin and what it really is. Ephesians 4, we're reminded of what God has done for us and that he's distributed gifts to every one of us. Now, when we go through Ephesians chapter 4, we see he talks about the gifts and he talks about gifts to the church, to individuals, and he reminds us that we're supposed to walk in a fashion that is distinctly set apart as a fashion that God would have us to walk. And we ought to abstain from the world and stay away from those things, but rather in a fashion that is patterned after Jesus Christ. He basically says, put off the old man and put off the old life so that we can become everything that God would have us to be. And it brings us all the way down till we see our text in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And this is where we're going to begin. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I have to tell you that renewal starts with how I think, where my mind goes. What I think about when I sit around doing nothing. What kind of things are always on my mind? Well, when we talk about this, let's talk first about what it means to be renewed. It's interesting. I don't know. This is not all that important. I'm going to share it anyway. The Greek word that's actually used right here is only used one time in the New Testament, and it's here. Now, there are some other words that are used that also have to do with being renewed, but this particular one is only used once, and it has to do with that idea of renovating the old self and make it new, to renew it by renovation. Now, I say that because I'll be real honest, I kind of understand this a lot better. I don't know about you, but I know my wife kind of likes to watch some of those shows where they flip the houses. You know, they'll buy up an old house, fix it up, make it look like something different, make it look new, and then resell it. It's a renovation, and people like to do that. I have some people that are friends of mine that do that on a pretty regular basis. And when they do that, they very often have to replace things. They replace cabinets. Sometimes they replace flooring or the drywall or the roof or, you know, whatever it might be. But there's a lot of things that they have to do in order to renovate that house so that the house doesn't look run down and beaten down. It doesn't look like an old house, but it looks like something new so that people can come along and see it and understand that, you know, a lot of work has been put into this. Because what happens is this renovation process has to do with replacing things or repairing things that are detrimental to either the structure or to the appearance of the house. Folks, when we're talking about renewing ourselves, we're talking about a renovation that replaces some things that get in the way of doing what God would have us to do. We're talking about trying to renovate some things that make us look a little better, whether it's renovating our appearance, whether it's renovating this whole idea of drawing closer to God and looking more like what God would have us to look like spiritually. But whatever the case may be, when he's talking about renewing our life here, he's talking about some serious renovation. By the way, it'll never take place in your life until it first takes place in your thoughts. It has to start here. It's got to start with the way you think. It's for that reason, Paul tells us, and we'll use this verse a little bit later, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, God understands something. Paul understood something. That if this old body was going to be renewed, if my spiritual life is going to be a life that pleases God, if it's going to be something that looks like what God wants it to look like, acts like what God wants it to act like, then something has to take place with my thinking. I need to be thinking about the things that are pleasing unto God. Now, I have to tell you, you know, in any marriage, I have to tell you that if I'm thinking of some other woman instead of my wife, I've got problems with my marriage. It's a problem with my heart, but the problem starts right here. I'm thinking about things I ought not to be thinking about. Ought to be focused on her, focused on pleasing her, focused on loving her and caring for her. The same thing is true spiritually. And we need to understand if we're going to be pleasing unto God, we need to be thinking about the things that God would have us to think about. You know, when we're thinking about this whole idea of transformation, it begins with our thinking. It begins with who we are here. Think about kind of who you are. I got to tell you, I'm a planner. I'm just a planner. We're at home and Debbie decides, it's always Debbie decides, by the way. Debbie decides we're going to have a project at the house. All right, we're going to add on to the porch. We're going to fix a closet up, or we're going to change the kitchen around. You know what I'm saying? It's a project. It's always her project. And so she'll come to me and say, I think we ought to do this. And by the way, the thought is always hers. The we is never her. It's always me. Just to clarify. We really ought to do this. Well, I'm the type that I say, okay, you know, if you think we ought to do this, let's just plan it out. Let's see what we can do. You know, what if we do this and do that? And, you know, she's like, yeah, good idea. Let's do it. Whoa, what do you mean? Let's do it. Let's go get the stuff and do it. No, wait a minute. I've got to plan this out. I have got to see it. I've got to know what I'm doing. You know, I've got to call Rick and get advice. You know what I'm saying? I got to do all that stuff. And I got to know his availability because the stuff I mess up usually needs to be fixed right away. And so what we do is we make sure that, you know what, I'm a planner. I want to make sure that when I do this, I'm doing it right. I've got all my stuff, and I've got it all laid out. She's not like that. She wants to do it right now, right now. But you see, when we're talking about a renovation in our life, when we're talking about renewed, we're talking about thinking this thing through and saying, what is it that we're really looking for? What is it that God wants of us in our life? Who do I need to be? What do I need to be? Where are my gifts? Where are the things in my life that makes God happy? Who am I? And so what we do is we then put ourselves in a place where God can genuinely use us. So I have to be able to see those things, and I have to know those things. All right, not only that, but the idea of renewing our minds requires a couple of elements, and we need never to forget this. And by the way, these are two key elements you need to always remember, because this is true about everything you do. Number one is you need God's workmanship. Number two, you need your willingness. Those two things are key elements. Never lose sight of this. God's workmanship, your willingness. Now, whether you realize it or not, we get those things mixed up and messed up a lot. Because sometimes we get the idea that we have the ability to do it, and we don't. And then sometimes God wants something in our life, and we're not willing to let him do it. And we fight him and rebel against it. Those two things are key elements. If we want our life to be renewed, we need, first, God's workmanship. And second, we need a willingness on our part. Now, only those who belong to Jesus Christ can have a renewing of their minds anyway, to be quite honest with you. It's only through Christ that our minds can be renewed. It's only through him that we can be able to see and do as God would have us to do. If you look on down in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 21. Paul sets the parameters as to how this might occur, all right? He tells us, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Here's what we have in that. We have God's workmanship. We have God doing the teaching, God doing the instructing, God making the plans, God making our life what it ought to be. We have God's workmanship. By the way, when I truly trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, immediately I became a child of God, and his workmanship started in my life. His workmanship took hold in my life and begins to move me in such a way that I can please him. But then secondly, we need to see a willingness on our part. And he gives us that also if you look on down verse 22. He says that ye... Not that he, but that ye, all of us, ye is plural, by the way, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. So what does he say? Verse 21, he says, we can do this by God's workmanship, by the things he taught us and instructed us and has given us in Scripture. But then we need to put off the old man. We need to do something of ourselves to be willing to allow the things that God has done and performed and established for us to be a very real part of our life. Just to throw an example out there. You know, we need to be in God's book. How am I going to know what God wants me to do if I'm not in his book? How am I going to know the instructions he gives me if I'm not willing to study his word? So I have to be willing to do those things. If you think that when you trusted Jesus Christ that you could just sit back and miraculously God was just going to change everything about you, change your mind, change your thinking, change everything about you, you thought wrong, because there has to be a willingness on our part to say, God, I need to surrender my heart, surrender my mind, surrender everything about my life to you. So that you can change these things. There has to be a willingness to say, God, I'm going to put this stuff away. God, I don't want this anymore. That needs to not be a part of my life. You know, too often we think and call ourselves Christians and we think that we can get our lives turned around without ever taking away a lot of the old things that corrupted us. Folks, we need to be willing to say, God, what do I need to do? God, give me the strength. Give me the courage to put these things away. And I have to tell you, sometimes it's a slow process. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes those are things that the body wants so bad, and we've spent our whole life doing what the flesh wants. And so now all of a sudden, we've got a different mindset. I don't want to do what the flesh wants anymore. I want to do what God wants. I want to follow his will. I want to do what the Spirit of God has instructed me to do. And so what we find is that we have to then come to this place where we're willing to say, God, I need you to help me put these things away. I need you to get those out of my way. But there has to be a willingness on our part to say, God, as you lead me, as you instruct me, as you guide me, I need to be obedient to your will to do this. So we need a renewal of our mind. But when should all that take place? Well, in our text, he says, and be renewed. I want you to see this. He says, and be, which is present tense, right? Right now. Right now, this is what you need to be. Renewed, which is past tense. You need to be what all those things compile themselves to make you become. You need to be working on this so that that day can come when you can say, I am renewed. In this area, in that area. My prayer life's what it ought to be. My study life's what it ought to be. My evangelism is what it ought to be. My family life's what it ought to be. You know, my devotion to my country is what it ought to be. We could go right on down the list. My mind is where it ought to be, and I'm thinking about the things I ought to think about. God, thank you. There ought to be a place and time where we can look and say, God, I see victory in this thing so that I can be renewed. I need to be that way immediately. Now, we're going to reference these two scriptures here in a moment, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, as we've already talked about, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, both talk about a renewing, something that takes place in our life. And so what we find is it has to begin with a renewing of the mind, and it has to begin with that thinking that we've just been talking about, all right? Now, the sooner we begin to fill up our minds with a more godly way of thinking, the sooner we're going to be able to reap the benefits of God's blessings. The sooner I get to where I need to be, the sooner God can bless that. The sooner I'm pleasing God, the sooner he can put me in this position to do this, or that he can bring folks along to teach them that, or he can, you know, do a lot of great things in my life to lead me to a place where I can serve him as he would have me to serve. Those are blessings, by the way. I know the world gets that confused. I know the world gets confused, and they think that the blessings are wealth and fame and all those kinds of things. That's not blessings from God. The blessings from God are when you have a right relationship with him. You know, I think about this in terms of our children. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's your children. You look at them, you think about how much you love them, how much you care for them. And you realize that the blessings are not so much what they possess as to what they kind of bring to your life. You know, the love and the devotion you can have for them, just being with them, cuddling with them, holding them. You know, loving them and caring for them, that's the real blessing. It's not whether or not they have the money to take care of you in your old age, although that's kind of a cool thing. But it's just them. Being able to have that fellowship and that companionship. By the way, the greatest blessing we can have with God is his fellowship. Just having him. There's nothing greater than just having God as a very real part of my life. So when we're talking about when should this take place, man, it needs to take place right now so that I can reap the blessings right now. You know, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and it talks about that renewing of your mind, transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a process towards transformation. It's a matter of being transformed, being changed, and it starts with the mind. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, we're given the means and the ability of our renewing, and that's through the Holy Spirit. He tells us, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now listen, when he saved us, look at what takes place: by the washing of regeneration and renewing of Holy Ghost. How cool is that? When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, not only was I made a new creature, not only was I born again, but he gave me the means to have fellowship with him through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, to be able to work and to move in my life. I have access unto him. I am renewed in him because, as I said before, the only hope we have is God's workmanship, amen, and then our willingness. And so what we find in this is we find that the Spirit of God moves into our life. I mean, renewal is so essential in our life because, and it's so essential that God is willing to give of himself to live here and to dwell here. Now imagine that for a moment. You probably would not like to live in an old, run-down, shabby house. Maybe you do, but chances are you don't. You would rather live in a house that's clean, neat, fixed up, and things not going wrong. You'd rather live in that home that you can feel comfortable in, feel good about. You would rather live there. The Holy Spirit of God, emphasis on holy, has chosen to live in this temple. I wonder what kind of a home I've made for him. What kind of a home have I made for him when he's looking at my life and he's living here? What kind of a temple have I become? Have I become a temple that's not really all that pleasing to him, that grieves him, if you would, according to Ephesians 4:30? Am I in that temple that's grieving him, or am I in a temple that is pleasing him? Am I a temple that's pleasing him? And so we have to look at our life and say, listen, we need to strive to be that temple, to be that person that is pleasing unto God, because he lives here. When I trusted him as my Lord and Savior, he moved right into my life. If ever there is a need for me to examine my life, and if need be to renovate it, to renew it, man, it's now. And it can't be apart from the Holy Spirit. If he's going to live here, he wants it to be what he would like it to be. I'll give you another example. You know, when we moved into our home initially, we bought a home that was foreclosed and we had to do a lot of work on it and that kind of thing. And again, I knew going in it wasn't what made me happy. It's what made Debbie happy. What colors do you like? What do you want to do here? What, you know, how would you like for this room to look? You know why? Because I knew she had to live there. I want it to be pleasing to her. Amen. By the way, I got a little story about that. I shouldn't take the time for this, but I'm going to. It's hilarious. Our bedroom at one point, when we first moved in, we painted it like a two-tone. All right? And after we'd lived there for about 5 years, she said, you know, I'm so sick of these colors. I said, well, why don't we repaint the room? Let's just repaint the room. It's not a big deal. Let's repaint the room. I said, you tell me what colors you think you would like. Because in all honesty, I had picked out the colors for the bedroom when we moved in, and so it's time to change them. And I said, okay, you pick out a color. She says, okay, I'll pick out a color. I said, now, do you want to keep this, you know, we have like a chair rail. I said, do you want to keep one color under the chair rail, another on the top, or you want an accent wall? What do you want with all this? She said, I like that. I like all that. Let's just keep that. I said, okay. And so she says, I like the color you got on top real well. Let's just leave that. Okay, so really all you want to do is change the color around the bottom. Yeah, that's really all I want to do. Okay, let's do that. All right, and I said, let's head out to the store. Let's get the paint, and we'll get that done. All right, you decide what color you want. I said, now, what do you want to do? She says, well, she says, let me take a picture. She took a picture of the top. She says, because I want it to match the top. So she took a picture of the top color, and we went, and we compared all these colors to the top, and went back. And you know what she did? Got the same color we already had on the bottom. Didn't even change the color. I said, Debbie, I can't even tell where I've painted. It's the same color. Turns out she kind of liked what she had. I don't know what that got to do with the message. But the point is, you know, when we're talking about renewal and we're talking about renovation, we need to understand and know that we want to be pleasing to the Lord. This is where he lives. And so when we're looking at our lives and we're talking about our lives, we have to examine and say, hey, is there a need for renewal? Because is he pleased with my prayer life? Is he pleased with my Bible study life? Is he pleased with my evangelism? And so we want to make sure that right away that we get things right with God and say, God, let's start the new year pleasing you, making sure that everything in my life is what pleases you. And where does all that begin? As I said before, it begins in the spirit of your mind. You know, there's a renewing that takes place at salvation. We're renewed immediately. We know that. We see that in Titus 3:5, where we've just read. And we know that it's by God's mercy, by the washing of clean, by regeneration, being born again. And we also know it's by being renewed by the Holy Spirit. So we get all of that. And that's how we're made to be a new creature in Jesus Christ. We're no longer that loathsome sinner that we once were. We are his child. We are now loved by him and cared by him. And we are his. And we're able to come into his very presence. But with all of that having been said, we were immediately transformed into his child, but we weren't immediately transformed into an obedient child. And you see, that's what has to take place. And that takes place by us working and moving and doing and becoming everything that God would have us to be. You know, we want to make sure that because we live in this same old body, we have to do everything we can to fix and renovate this old body. I can't continually yield to the flesh. Just like in a home, you can't continually yield to the mold or yield to the, you know, to the termites or to yield to just things that fall apart, rust. We can't just continually do that. We have to keep it fixed up. We have to continually work at it, and we have to continually fix things up and do better. Our spiritual lives need that. And we can't be content with just staying the same. We have to continually strive to be everything God would have us to be. Bring this old body into submission. And I got to tell you, sometimes that takes a lot of work and a lot of devotion. It's not an easy task. You know, we're constantly battling things of the world that get in the way, as well as Satan, his angels, and who are a constant foe for us. It's for that reason we can't get weary and well-doing, if you would, trying to get back to where God would have us to be and trying to serve as God would have us to serve. We want to not ever give up. And here's a sad thing, is a lot of times people begin to look and they feel so defeated and so much in despair that instead of renewing, they quit. They give in. They give up. You know, we need to understand, because we see this all the time, by the way. Don't we see it in life? I mean, you see it with marital struggles. You sometimes see it with parents and children, or parents and their children. You sometimes see it with friendships. You sometimes see it at your workplace. And we realize that there are times where we just sit back and we go, I quit. I give up. But what God says is, listen, in our spiritual life, when those things happen to our life, when things come along, we need to understand that we just need to be renewed in the Spirit. We need to be renewed. We need to get back to that place where we're excited and where we want to do what God would have us to do. You know, people are going to give up to corrupt thoughts and evil thinking, give in to various sins, but here's the thing. You don't want to do that. And in fact, the way you fight that is fill your mind with the things of God so that sin doesn't have room. I used to do prison ministry. And in the prison ministry, a guy said something to me one time I thought was hilarious. He was kind of antagonistic. He didn't like the fact that I came in, taught Bible and all that kind of thing. He just happened to be in a dorm that where I taught and where he was required to listen. And he'd get frustrated with it. And one day he told me, he says, man, this is crazy. I don't want to be here. And I said, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. He says, I've had enough of this. He says, I used to live with a girl. He said, I lived with a girl who was a devout Christian. Now, devout Christian, and he lived with her. You can put quotes around all that, but nonetheless. She was a devout Christian, and I had about all I could stand of her Bible quotes and her music. I got out of there, and I thought to myself, what a perfect picture. You know, when we fill up the picture, when we fill up the mind with the things of God, Satan ain't going to hang around. And I got to tell you, sin doesn't hang around. Those things that are corrupt doesn't hang around. What we find is we fill them up with the things of God and we stay focused on the things of God and we don't give any room for any of that nonsense. When we fill our mind up with what God says to fill our mind with, I got to tell you, we're not thinking all those bad thoughts. I'm going to tell you this. Let me take it even a step farther. It's when we're thinking of bad thoughts, the first thing that comes to our mind probably is, oh, you're talking about pornography and stuff. That's part of it. Don't get me wrong, but it might just be evil thoughts about somebody else. It might just be a little gossip going on in there. It might just be something really negative going on in there. It might just be something real detrimental to you as a Christian or to the people around you. It might be a lot of different things. Anything that's not of God is a mess and is corrupt and is evil. And he says, fill your mind up with good things. Fill it up with the things that God can use. Fill it up with the things that God can use to renew you and to purify every member of your body. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourself, and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you really think God just put that in Scripture just for the fun of it? No, he put that in there because, quite frankly, we need that every day of our life, and we need to be reminded that our minds need to be filled up with these things. As a parent, you kind of understand this point. When you have kids, if you let them, they're going to sit on their phone playing games or doing whatever they do all the time, are they not? They'll never put them down if you let them. But as a parent, you're a good parent, and so what you do is you limit their time. You know, you take it away from them after a while. You say you can have it for this length of time, and then you're done with it. Spiritually speaking, we need to follow some of that same advice. Put away this stuff. Don't let it just fill our mind. Don't let it just constantly be in our face. Don't let it just be constantly bombarding us. But let's fill our minds with the things that God would have us to. Your mind's going to control what the body does. It will. Let me give you an example of that. If you're like me, you're going to understand this. You're at home in bed. If you use an alarm, your alarm goes off. You know it's time to get up. And you're laying there with your eyes open and you're going, oh, do I get up or do I just lay here? Your body's going to do whatever you decide. Your body's going to follow suit. You decide, I've got to get up because I got to go to work. And you know what? If you decide to do that, your body's going to follow right along and just do it. Because you've decided that's what you're going to do. Or if you decide, I'm going to call in sick, your body's going to follow suit. See, whatever you decide, whatever your mind says, your body's going to follow suit with those things. You make a decision to do those things, you're going to do them. So what we find is this, is it all's got to begin. It all has to begin with how we think. Do I think about pleasing God? Do I think about the things of God? Do I think pure things? Do I think lovely things? Do I stay where God would have me to stay and do the things God would have me to do? Because if I think along those lines, my body's going to follow suit. It was cold yesterday, and we went out on door-to-door visitation yesterday, not for hardly as long as we would normally go, but we went out, and I got to tell you, that's not an easy task. I mean, you put on multiple layers, and you go out knocking on doors. It was cold, but we did that. After we got done, Keith and I went up to Hamilton and tried to do a little knocking on doors, working on trying to expand his bus route, he and Mark, and so we were up there, again, knocking on doors. I was out knocking on doors for 3 or 4 hours yesterday. I got to tell you, it was cold. My body was rebelling. My body was like, Barry, come on, man. Let's get this done and go home. We can get back home and we can cover up, sit back in the chair, you know, get a cup of coffee. You make it easy on yourself. But you see, you have to stay focused. But this is what I need to be doing. And as long as you force that in your mind, your body follows suit. Might not like it. And by the way, your body's going to rebel more often than you realize. But what are we going to do? Here's the last point I want to make. Why bother? Why bother with renewal? Am I not okay just right where I'm at? I can just get along like this. Well, we bother because, number one, it eliminates the accommodations of Satan. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Now, I'm here to tell you that a saved individual cannot be possessed by Satan. A saved individual cannot have Satan move into this life in any way, form, or fashion. However, we can give place to the devil. And the way we do that is to think about the things that the devil would have us to think about. And you know what? He'll control everything we do. If our thoughts are the thoughts he wants us to have, we're going to follow suit. And we're going to do what he would have us to do. You know, and so he has influenced us in such a way that is not good. You know, when I was working on this message, on one of my points, I wanted to pull up a bunch of statistics on something. And so I went to the websites to pull up those statistics. I got to be real honest with you. The particular statistics that I wanted, because we're talking about evil and corrupt things. And I'm going to tell you, the websites, all the little ads down the side, you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to read these columns and all the little ads down the side. I about had to hold my hand like this to try to look. And I got to tell you, it got too much. And I said, you know, I'm not dealing with this because it was messing with me. So you don't have statistics in my message this morning. Because it was messing with me. And I said, I got to get away from this. And I got away from it. You know why? I can't have that. I'm going to preach a message. This is supposed to be God's word. This is supposed to be an encouragement to you. It's supposed to be something that's a help. It's supposed to be something that brings us and draws us closer to the Lord. I don't need that stuff in my mind. So I just got away from it. So you don't have the statistics. But I got away from it. You know, here's what we find is if we just don't let Satan influence us in that way, if we get away from that immediately, if we get away from those things, I mean, I got to tell you, our fellowship with God would be so much better. And it'll get Satan out of the picture. And he'll not have the same toehold that he would have otherwise. We bother because it also gives us a greater fellowship with God. And if we're thinking about him, I'm going to tell you, the fellowship with him is so much better. I know I've thrown so many me and Deb illustrations out today. I hesitate to throw another one, but I'm going to throw another one. If my day, I'm thinking about her, thinking about how much I love her, how much I want to be with her. I got to tell you, when I get home and see her, it's so much more pleasurable. You know, it's like, man, I've been waiting to see you all day. And there's something that just makes you feel so good about walking into that situation and seeing them. But if my day is, man, she made me mad last night. Man, she just, you know, why can't she see this the way I can see it? Why did she do this? Why did she do that? I got to tell you, it's not as pleasurable when I walk in and see her because I'm not thinking lovely thoughts. I'm thinking detrimental thoughts. When you walk in church, where's your mind? When you open that Bible and you're going to study it, where's your mind? When you fall down before God in your prayer life, where's your mind? When you're seeking that fellowship with him, where's your mind? Is it on the things of him which draws you close to him and gives you a better fellowship with him? Or is it in the things of the world? Problems that are going on. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, I understand that this passage deals with individuals. I get that. But I can't help but to think that the one that we ought to please more than any other is Jesus Christ. And if he has no fellowship with those kind of thoughts, when I'm in fellowship with him, it's when I'm not thinking those kind of thoughts. When those things are away from me. I mean, because there's no fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no communion with light and dark. How's God going to have that kind of communion with me? And why bother? Well, because it also guarantees me some victory. I like victory. I'm a winner kind of a guy. I don't like to lose. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If I want a victorious prayer life, you know what I need? I need to be what God would have me to be. And as I look at my prayer life, I have to look and say, does my prayer life need some renewal? If I want victory in understanding Scripture and applying it to my heart and my life, then I need to search the Scriptures as God has commanded without trash in my mind, because I want to be pleasing unto Him, and I want to get everything out of Scripture that He would have me to get out of it. If I want to be victorious in evangelism, see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I need to be faithful and unashamedly sharing the gospel with people. Do I need to renew my personal evangelism? It all starts right here, folks. What are you thinking about? Do I think in such a way that I'll be able to see spiritual victory? You know, today, I can't even begin to know what you're thinking about. I can't even begin to know what's taking place in your heart and in your mind. But I do know this. If it's not pleasing unto the Lord, you need renewal. Something needs to take place. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're not thinking the way you ought to be thinking, then you need some surrender. You need some renovation. You need something to take place to bring you back to that place where your thoughts are on Him and the things that please Him. Bow your heads with me, if you would, this morning. How is God dealing with you in your life today? Is your life pleasing to Him? Are your thoughts pleasing to Him? What are you thinking about? There might be decisions that need to be made in your life this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the first thing you need to do to please God is trust Him. Welcome Him into your life. You need to be saved today. Maybe you're saved and maybe you're just out of His will. Maybe there are decisions that need to be made that you just need to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to make this decision and be done with it because I want to do what God would have me to do. But whatever it is today, do what pleases Him. Dear Father, I pray that today we'll all walk out of here with an incredible look towards You, where we want and desire to serve You, that we walk out of here in fellowship with You, that we walk out of here desiring to see great things take place as a result of what You can do in our lives. Lord, may we continually think about the things that please You. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.